Wisconsin is going back to work.
I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wisconsinized summary of this week in the Capitol. J.R., that'll teach us to take a week off.
Yes.
So last Friday afternoon, Court of Appeals stunned you, stunned me, reinstated our photo ID law, saying if you can get a photo ID for free, it's much like the Indiana law. Therefore, go forth. Stunning decision.
Well, interesting, a couple of points. One, that they acted so quickly. Of course, the counter to that is if Judge Adelman's decision at the district court level, it nixed the law, was so wrong, why wait to fix it? You know, that's the flip side. Two, you have election officials scrambling trying to get this thing implemented now. So on the one hand, should they have been working to try and implement a law that was on hold anyway? Or should they have been prepared? You know, that's kind of a question. But three, you have absentee ballots.
Yes.
There was a real issue with these that they had 12,000 prepared to go out. The decision came down. Several thousand had already been mailed. Several hundred returned.
Yes.
What happens to those? Well, Kevin Kennedy from GEB says you have to go show your copy of your ID, provide a copy of your ID to the local clerk, or your vote will be counted. How's that going to work? Quite an interesting dilemma for local clerks.
But let's break this down one by one. Let's do DOT. Suddenly, I mean, you heard the testimony. Experts like Barry Burden say it could be up to 300,000 Wisconsin residents, okay, that don't have photo IDs. So the process now, the burden is on DOT and DHS, Department of Health Services, to lay out a process. There's a form by which you apply for a photo ID. Do I have this correct?
Yes. Do you have to go down there? You can give them other records besides, if you don't have a birth certificate, give them other records. And they'll go search these various databases to kind of confirm your birth date, give you an ID for free. Oh, but by the way, we're 46 days out right now from the election. There are certain counties only open one day a month, one day a week, whatever it is. There are still some issues there to try and get in to get the ID. Now, the question is, of these 300,000 people, how many of them really are active voters? Yeah. You know, that's, I don't know if that's ever been shown. If it has, I'm sorry if I missed that, but it's hard to know what a big impact is going to be. The parties have gotten so good at identifying their supporters and turning them out that one person told me it won't be a huge impediment for, you know, Democrats to go out and vote. What it will do, though, is it drains resources away from your normal get-out-the-vote efforts, and you have to put them into get-the-ID effort. Yeah. How's that going to impact November?
But you were born in the great state of Indiana, right? Mm-hmm. I was born in the great
state. No, I was born in Wisconsin. Grew up in Iowa, high school and college in Indiana.
Okay, let's use my example. Mm-hmm. I was born in the great state of Columbus. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have a driver's license, would I be able to get my birth certificate from Columbus, Ohio, in time to get a photo ID to vote on November 4?
You don't need your birth certificate. You can go with other records now and provide those, which is the process that DOT set up because the state Supreme Court said there's a problem with your voter ID law, but we're going to fix it for you. Kind of an activist move, if you will, according to some people. We're going to fix your law by requiring this new process for DOT to allow those without a birth certificate to apply for the ID without those, without paying a fee. So now we have this new process in place for DOT to do that.
But how does a little old lady in Taylor County who's been voting at her local town hall for 20 years and she knows all the poll workers, how does she know what she has to bring? But let's take it to the Milwaukee inner city. How does a 30-year-old working part-time know that they have to show a photo ID? I'm not asking you to solve the problem, but don't these questions illustrate some of the issues that are out there?
Definitely a challenge, and if you're a Democrat who thinks this is going to hurt your core constituencies, challenge for you to get people out to the polls. Also, remember, the opponents of the law have gone back to the Seventh Circuit saying, look, we want a full hearing, because the 3-judge panel who lifted the stay last week, they want a full 10-judge panel to hear this entire thing and take another shot at it. We haven't heard yet if they're going to take it up, but that's where we're at right now.
What are the legal eagles who you talk to tell you that about the possibility of the full Court of Appeals overturning the order, the reinstating photo ID?
Not sure. Now, the other thing, though, I've heard from people is, like, lawyers is, look, Wisconsin's law is pretty much Indiana's law. Indiana's law and passed the U.S. Supreme Court. What was Adelman thinking? Now, we would assume that Judge Adelman, because he was a Democrat in the legislature, has certain political views about things and has a certain inclination legally to what the law should say.
Yeah.
But the U.S. Supreme Court laid down a precedent. That's one thing that people kind of hung up with me is, look, you know, this is kind of set a law according to the Supreme Court already.
Yeah. So you have the Department of Transportation scrambling to make people aware of the form to apply for a photo ID, what you have to bring, but then the press conference Wednesday by Kevin Kennedy laying out what he has to do as GAB. I mean, they have to develop new rules for the photo ID process, what's acceptable, mm-hmm. including, we'll come back to your absentee ballot issue, train 1,923 county and municipal clerks. They have to train their local poll workers. You saw the State Journal story this morning. They need 612 more poll workers because they anticipated demand. And they got to launch a PR campaign to make voters aware of these new requirements. So DOT is one part of the show in terms of issuing the photo IDs. GAB, achievable job for GAB?
Well, go back. You said the DOT has to let people know about that plan.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a PSA yet, have you?
No.
There are cynics, if you will, on the Democratic side who are wondering when the Walker administration will put the full force of the government behind the public service announcement saying, hey, here's how you get an ID to vote in November. Make sure you get one now. But with the GAB, there's that question again of should have been prepared for this already, should have had a contingency plan, if you will, of, okay, there's a lawsuit out there. They've asked for a lift of the stay. What do we do in case it happens? Obviously, they haven't been doing that. Now we're in scramble mode. So whose fault is that?
Scramble. Meanwhile, I was surprised. I'm easily surprised in this election year. Speaker Voss, Majority Leader Fitzgerald, sue over the design of the ballot. I haven't worked this issue. What is that about, sir?
So typically we've gone to the polls in Wisconsin. If you optical scan, you've had the shaded box, right?
Yep.
Governor, chunk. Senate, whatever. The shaded box is gone on the new ballot. And now you have a box that tells you what office you're voting for.
Yeah.
There's no line between the box, what you're voting for, and the first candidate. Well, under state law, because Democrats won top of the ticket in 2012, Barack Obama, they're the first candidate listed. So the box now has vote for one for governor, and then boom, Mary Burke's name. Republicans believe that is going to influence people to assume you have to vote for Burke. They are raising all kinds of concerns that it's going to do that. Also that if you go down the ballot that some races might get lost, for example. That there's basically a partisan advantage for Democrats. It's going to cause confusion. Throw out the ballot, go back to the one we all have known for all these years, and oh, by the way, do this between now and November 4th.
So, and there's a hearing next Wednesday on this in Waukesha County Court.
Yes.
So the Republicans went to Waukesha County Court, just like the Democrats went to Dane County Court mm-hmm. to try and void Act 10.
Just a coincidence, by the way.
We don't have judge shopping, do we? What do you think? Is there a real chance that a judge could order new ballots printed for an election that's 46 days away?
Entirely possible. The question is, how quickly they go to the Supreme Court? I mean, if the Waukesha County judge hands down a decision, okay,
yeah.
we're not going to have that be the final word. It'll be the appeals court. I'm sure they're going to ask for direct certification to the U.S. Supreme Court, citing expediency. In fact, the election is so close. By the way, those ballots should have been printed, what, like sometime next, right around now,
mm-hmm.
pretty soon?
Mm-hmm.
It's a time crunch right now to get this thing done and get a ballot settled for Wisconsin.
And now, the absentee ballot issue, 12,000 had been mailed.
12,000 had been printed up,
ready to go.
Prepared. I think 3,000 had been mailed and several hundred returned. There weren't accurate numbers that were given this week.
So we had several hundred absentee ballots that were already back, to be counted, except they're now invalid.
And they're a provisional ballot. So until you show a copy of your ID, which the state law says, now the voter ID law says, vote absentee, you have to show a copy of your ID. You must go to your clerk, send it in, whatever you got to do, get a copy of that ID to the clerk by election day to have it counted. If it's not there by election day, it becomes a provisional ballot. That means you have until the Friday after the election, right, to then get there with your ID and show, okay, this is my ID, make my ballot count.
And let's wrap up the issue this way. The ACLU is throwing a Hail Mary pass to the full Court of Appeals panel. Stop this. Are they arguing that it's too close to election to efficiently implement this change?
A number of things. That plus that you already had the election. Essentially, the election has already begun because you have absentee ballots out and coming back. It's too late in the process to do this. That's their shot right now. So wait and see what happens with that.
Okay. Latest Franklin poll for the fourth month in a row. Guess what? Da-da-da-da, Governor Walker and Murray Burke head-to-head, dead heat.
Yeah, slight movement. I mean, it's always tough. You're talking margin of error type movement in polls to really say that this is definitive what's happening in the race. But you are seeing that Walker is down a couple points among likely voters last time. Now he's up points.
Margin of error, 3.
So what's that mean? Now, a couple caveats. Charles Franklin, the director of the poll, said, look, this sample is more Republican than we usually get in our polling. Is it an outlier, which is always possible? They've done 24 polls, so you get one in 20 sometimes outside your confidence level. Or B, is the Republican tide we're seeing nationally finally hitting Wisconsin.
Yep.
He noted that across all markets, we're seeing more Republicans turn up in the sample. That suggests it's less likely that it's an anomaly and that there's kind of a little bit of a ripple, if you will. Not made a wave yet for Republicans, but a ripple that's finally hitting Wisconsin and snapping into place, putting us back in line with the rest of the country, because up to now, those polls showing that Democrats more enthused to vote, that was outside what you would expect, right, at least for the national trend.
Right. The term he used was he found some new Republican enthusiasm,
yes,
in this last poll. Meanwhile, the dirt's flying, mm-hmm, in these TV ads. Governor Walker climbs out of a ditch, yeah, and the Burke campaign and its friends start saying, Governor, stop digging. Who's got the most effective ads, do you think?
Good question. I find whenever I talk about ads with people, I just find people are critics of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you're the campaign yourself, usually you don't like the ads in general. You think they should have done this or focused on this. The message is too out there, but you know, it's a mixed bag, I guess I'd put it that way.
Mixed bag?
Yeah.
Although you and I have had Republicans say that Susan Happ ad pre-primary off the Harley.
That was great.
They said that was pretty good.
They liked that. Now she's having some issues, and yeah, you know, with that Marquette poll showing also it's a close race.
Yeah, she lost momentum that she gained post-primary because now that's also a dead heat. Jefferson County District Attorney is a Democrat for Attorney General versus Waukesha County Attorney Brad Schimmel. Jobs numbers. Jobs numbers. Let's see. What do they show? We were up 23,712 jobs in the first 3 months of 2014 compared to the same year.
Over the year period.
Yes. First quarter of 2013 versus first quarter of 2014. We did better than two states, but yes, we did worse than four.
Well, if you look at the total Midwest, 10 were eighth.
Okay.
So interesting spin from Walker's administration that we beat two states. They didn't mention the other eight. This is a really issue for the governor in which, remember that poll from Marquette? It's shown in a couple of now. Are we creating jobs faster than other states?
Yes.
Slower than other states?
Yes.
Or about the same?
Yes.
That number has not been great for Walker lately. Now, the last poll, it kind of stemmed the bleeding a little bit. It kind of improved, but again, not a significant change, small change. Walker's been hammering that issue hard for the last month, saying we're number three. Now, he's using a different set of numbers, mm-hmm, to say we're number three.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows it's a vulnerability.
He's using numbers. He's using an agency numbers that he used to diss, right?
Absolutely.
And now he believes in them.
He says they're the most accurate, most up to date numbers.
Okay.
So
okay,
going to be anyway. But it's an issue for him. He's got to try and push back against the perception that we're not doing as well as other states. By the way, the Marquette poll also shows the budget message is starting to kind of weaken a little bit for him, where people are now kind of like, well, it's not as good a shape as it used to be. Back in January, 49% of the budget was in better shape than it was before. Now, yep. It's down in the low 40s.
41. Mm-hmm. 41. Okay, which, nice segue, JR, to the budget issue. So state agencies in the fall of even-numbered years, they submit wish lists, mm-hmm, for the next 2 years. And then you had this intriguing letter from Secretary Hitch. The only exercise more negligent would be to add the new agency 2015-17 budget request DOA has recently received and proclaim that we now have a new financial crisis on our hands. You and I can do the math. The last Fiscal Bureau said potential, possible, structural, 1.8. Agency has asked for $1 billion more, so Hipsch is saying, don't do this math.
Yeah.
But excuse me, Jar, isn't it the same math that Governor Walker used when he campaigned to say we have a $3.6 billion hole?
Somewhat. Now, I've noticed that every governor I've covered hates the structural deficit number but loves it when he's challenging the incumbent.
Thank you. That's right.
So, but it's not a real number, okay? It is a projection of we have no revenue growth.
Yes.
Everything stays exactly the same. It's,
yes,
how much you have to make it up. So it's not a real number. But the flip side is there's a new memo out from Fiscal Bureau that John Nygren and Alberta Darling, the co-chairs of Joint Finance, asked for.
Yes.
It's also not a real number. It says if you have revenue growth that meets expectations, if you have no spending increases, if you have this, if you have that.
And if you have a spending reduction, we still have a surplus at the end of the 15-17.
Yeah.
So if you read the fine print, both sides have enough, and here's the way Hipsch ended it. I expect that we will move past these political games that only frustrate and confuse the people of Wisconsin. Translation, nothing to see here.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line, it's really a political issue. I mean, it always is, but it's particularly in this governor's gubernatorial campaign where part of Walker's stool is we're creating jobs, I balance the budget responsibly,
yes,
and I cut taxes. We're going forward.
Yep.
You take away legs of the stool, it gets wobbly. The stool's on jobs, that's an issue for him. The budget does not want that to become an issue for him. They're very pushing back very hard because they cannot have that become a liability for him come November that, wait a second, this budget's not balanced.
Yep.
Now, the real number won't be out till November. Now, fortunately, it's November 20th, right? DOA has to take not just the agency request.
Reconcile spending. Go ahead.
Reconcile spending, agency request, and revenue projections.
Yes.
Then you get a fuller picture. Until then, you can massage these things any way you want to create the picture that you want to. Neither is really accurate. What is accurate, though, is this. Revenues came in below expectations the first year of the budget.
Yes.
Will they hit the second year of the budget? Will they hit those expectations? That's a huge key. If they don't, there are some problems. We will likely have revenue growth in the next budget. How much? We don't know. Will the agencies get all the spending they wanted? Absolutely not. But there's a huge Medicaid problem right now.
Yes, there is. 760.
The driver of the $1.1 billion they requested is Medicaid.
760 of it.
That is not going to be held flat. They have to find a way to address that problem in the next budget.
Well, I'm also struck. Let's wind it up, the discussion on this issue this way. Our tax collections were 281 short in the fiscal year that ended June 30. Now, Hipsch and Secretary of Revenue Chandler say, oh, we're up $48 million in July and August. JR, in a $75 billion all-funds two-year biennial budget, that is pocket change.
It's the other thing is it's unusual. I had never until this week heard of the monthly allocation forecast. Basically, but I talked to Rick Chandler, the revenue secretary, said that, yes, they have this internal number that they keep. They take the annual revenues expected, use historical trends, and divvy them up a quarter a month. They have internal benchmarks.
Yes.
So this is, but it's something I've never seen before. But again, in the current debate, they want to try and push back against this perception of we're in trouble, and this helped them do that.
Yeah. Okay, finally, before we get to the stock report, I was taping an interview, candidate interviews in Milwaukee all day. I missed this. BuzzFeed reported plagiarism on the part of Burks. Bring me up to speed on this issue.
Essentially, BuzzFeed, and this is one of the things that they do, is they go out there and they find or try to find instances of passages being lifted, plagiarized, whatever word you want to use, from other people. They did it with the Oregon Republican U.S. Senate candidate this week as well. They are saying that if you look at Mary Burks' jobs plan and look at the past plans of three other Democrats who ran for governor in Indiana, Delaware, and Oregon in recent years, they have passages that are basically identical.
It's a cut-and-paste job?
Now, the Burke campaign says a consultant, who they're now calling a subcontractor, is the one responsible, worked for the three campaigns as well as theirs. They have terminated that relationship.
No longer works here.
Yes. And they're saying that it's still her plan. They're still sticking with it. But this was just a bad actor, if you will. Now, Republicans are not exactly accepting that explanation. They're using the P word and hammering it very hard. The question is, how damaging is it going to be? What's the fallout going to be? We're sitting here hours after it broke. It might take a week or two to really know what the impact is from this. I mean, others have recovered. Rand Paul has been accused of plagiarism in a speech. Joe Biden has been accused of it more than once.
U.S. Senator from Montana, who was an appointee, he had to drop out.
Dropped because out of the race.
His war college thesis was plagiarized.
A little bit different there with the significance of what it was, but this is still a crux of Burke's campaign. Is I know how to create jobs. These are my ideas. She's taking ownership of the report, but not some of the pieces. That's kind of a difficult thing to maneuver the next few weeks.
You expect her to offer a new jobs report that hasn't been cribbed from other Dem candidates?
I saw a brief interview this morning with another media outlet where she said that I'm sticking to my plan. This is my plan. We're not changing anything. So she's saying we dropped the guy that did it. We're moving forward.
Okay.
We'll see if
it
works.
All of which sets up the stock report.
Rising Brad Schimmel, the Republican candidate for AG. Now, think about the Marquette poll is this. It gives them the chance to say, I've got momentum. We went from being down, you know, 8, 9, 10 points to being even. The thing is, though, when you talk to insiders, they'll tell you that nothing has happened in the last couple weeks to really create momentum in that race. Now, Susan Happ had a bad run with those two stories about the sex offender her office was dealing with, that she had a financial relationship with this guy. But it's more likely that that Marquette number is a reflection of the partisans who were surveyed are sticking with their partisan candidate, right? Yeah. There are very close numbers to the number of Dems, number of Republicans, and if you take those independents, quote-unquote, and find out if they lean Republican or lean Democratic, I'm sure that basically gets you to 42-41. Okay. And that's kind of where the race is at. So at least, though, it gives them perception of momentum. Say, look, we close this gap from being that to now we're dead even. We've got momentum on our side.
Schimmel rising. Mixed?
Walker. The numbers aren't great in the Marquette poll. They're not bad. There's been a slight shift in his direction. Two other polls out, Rasmussen and one from CBS and New York Times last week, all show him leading slightly. And again, we're talking margin, the error leads, but it creates perception. There's maybe a little bit of momentum on governor's side in terms of numbers.
Yeah.
Jobs numbers aren't great. Unemployment's down. That's good. Overall job growth rate, not so hot. The budget, is it in deficit? Is it in a surplus? It's a muddy mess for voters to kind of pick their way through. Does that help Walker or hurt him? And, you know, by the way, Mary Burke's troubles, they don't help her on this whole thing. So he seems to be slugging along a little bit. One good line I heard from some this week was this. the previous 2-3 weeks for Governor Walker, the worst he's had since the recall, since he beat Bat back. Mm-hmm. If he comes out of that Marquette Bowl slightly ahead after that, he might be in good shape.
Okay. And then falling?
Well, we have to give a nod to Mary Burke. That's kind of a breaking one, so she's not doing very well this morning. But the Governor Accountability Board, these guys have been going at it with Republicans have been going at it with the GAB for months, if not years now. They've been happy with it almost since day one. This may be kind of the last straw, this ballot. They feel like they should have, A, never introduced it after the primary, should have at least had a test run before
Been consulted.
Wasn't done out in the open. Now, the GAB is trying to defend itself a little bit. Kevin Kennedy went out there and said, look, if anybody says there's partisan motivation on this, it's crazy, it's absurd. Right. This is the bottom line. If Republicans come back control both houses of the legislature, and right now they're in pretty decent shape to do that, the GAB in 2 years will not be the GAB you see right now. Well, what's it going to look like, though? Will they clean house with, like, the administrators, with the staff? I mean, that's been the issue, right?
Yeah.
The Republicans will tell you that the board is fine. It's a nonpartisan board of retired judges. But they say those judges essentially rely on the staff and go with staff recommendation 9 times out of 10.
Right.
That's their issue. What do you create, though? Do you create a partisan board like you used to have, the elections board, where you had people in the background pulling the strings, like the story that you wrote about the Green Doyle race? Does that happen? Do you try to create an advocate system where you have a Republican and Democrat who are the elections advocate for both sides and present opposing viewpoints to the board? It could be a giant mess. Oh, by the way, editorial boards will take you to task for trying to play with the regulators.
Yes.
Give yourself more oversight. Wait a second, you're putting a thumb on the scale. Put it under DOA. You're going to put it under partisan official.
Right.
So there's all kinds of minefields in this process. Dems have had their issues with the GAB as well. They're not nearly as angry right now with the GAB. But oh, by the way, they weren't happy. The GAB said, "Oh yeah, we're going to implement voter ID without having an order from Governor Walker, AG Van Hollen, or the legislature."
My question is, assuming Speaker Voss is back in the chair, will his target be the GAB or the John Doe process next year, or both?
There are indications of both. And oh, by the way, election laws.
Yes.
He wants to rewrite those as well.
Well, that's right. In the wake of
all these decisions from the U.S. Supreme Court
remove
and federal
all the limits.
Judges,
yeah, you're
what's
exactly
it going
right.
to look like?
You're exactly right. Okay, we're going to close it with a trivia question. Percentage of voters in yesterday's Franklin poll who said don't know enough about or don't know our Attorney General Van Hollen, who's been in office for 8 years. Do you know
roughly
the number?
Roughly half.
51%. Wow. Interesting. What a great year. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for September 19th. Thank you.